If it can be realized as the degree sequence of some simple undirected graph, okay, under what condition is a, we're now going to be interested in the following questions. I give you a integer partition. I want you to tell me, is that going to be an even, is there a graph whose degree sequence corresponds to it? Okay. In this particular graph of 5 fours, certainly there is a graph that corresponds to it, right? Here I have one. I give you an example. The complete graph on 5 vertices has each vertex being of degree 4. Okay. Here we have a graph. What if I give you a graph on 6 vertices with each degree 1? Is there a graph that realizes that? My claim is the following graph does realize that degree sequence, namely an isolated set of 3 edges. Is there any connected graph on 6 vertices, each of whose degree is 1? Okay. I mean, is there any way that we could have made this graph connected? Okay, given that it had that degree sequence. Okay. I claim the answer is no. Because somehow once you have a vertex of degree 1, it can only be connected to 2 things, to 1 other thing. Okay? And that doesn't leave you much flexibility to tie things together. Correct? So there isn't any way to make this a connected graph, but there is a way to make a graph like that. Any questions? What if I give you a degree sequence of 7 ones? Okay? Is it possible for there to be a graph with that sequence? The answer is no, because of what we proved before. The sum of 7 ones is 7. The sum of the degrees is an odd number. Therefore, this can't possibly be a degree sequence of a graph. Okay? What about 6, 4, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Is it possible to have a group of n people in the room, each of whom know a different number of friends? Okay, let's stop and think about that. Okay? Where each person knows at least what's really what we have asking here. Is it possible to have 6 people in the room such that the first person has one friend, second person has 2 friends, sixth person has 6 friends? Is such a thing possible with a simple graph? I claim the answer is no. There's no way for the sixth person to have 6 friends, okay, unless they're their own friend, right? And that we forbid in a simple graph. Okay? Any questions? Okay? So, one thing that's interesting then is that it's not possible to have a graph where every vertex has a different degree. Okay? That I think is actually kind of interesting. Okay? So, the question now is, given a sequence of integers, can you find a graph that realizes it? Let's just try a little exercise just while we've got people here. Let's propose a degree sequence. Let's say 4, 2, 2, 2, actually let's say 2. Can this be realized as a graph? Can somebody sit down and try to do one of these? Okay, is there a graph that corresponds to this or not? Okay, let's think about this for just a second. This might be a good warm-up. Okay, first person who says yes, let me know. Okay, so the answer is yes? It's a fan. So you want to claim that if I have the central vertex, I've got 5 vertices, one of which is going to be of degree 4, okay? Once I take care of that guy, I now, in fact, am done. Actually, no, now I still need to connect. What do I still need to do? Okay, I still need to get, in order for each one to be of degree 2, okay, it's not a fan, but I will claim it's a butterfly. Okay, that this butterfly, in fact, does yield that. Okay. Okay, whereas the fan did not. The fan would be the degree sequence 4, 3, 3, 3, 3, right? That's what you meant by a fan. Okay? Any questions? So the problem we're going to be interested in now, okay, is to analyze the degree sequences of graphs. Under what condition does a degree sequence realizable? Okay? And I claim that there's two different conditions that are known. It's probably more than that. But two different conditions I'm going to mention for testing whether or not a graph has a degree sequence is a graph, corresponds to a graph. Okay? The first claims that the degree sequence of an even integer, okay, meaning that the sum has to add up to an even total, it has to add up to an even total. Okay? So I've got parts D1 through Dn where D1 is greater than or equal to D2 dot, dot, dot. So they're sorted in decreasing order. The biggest one is less than n. Okay? My claim is that it corresponds to a simple graph if and only if the partition D2 minus 1 dot, 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 we take the degree of the largest degree, subtract 1 from the D1 largest, highest degree vertices in the graph, and delete the first integer from the list. This partition is graphical if and only if that partition is graphical. Okay? How many people don't yet see the, understand the condition? Raise your hand if you don't. Good. Okay. What I'm saying here is that here we have a partition on n parts corresponding to the n vertices. Here I've got a partition on n minus 1 parts. So this is strictly a smaller number of parts. What I claim is that this sequence, if D1 is the largest vertex, degree vertex, and all of these are sorted by decreasing order, okay, I'm claiming that if you take one from, you take the second through D1 plus first vertices, namely the D1 vertices, largest vertices except for D1, subtract one from each of those and delete D1, the first part. You've got a partition on n vertices. Okay? My claim is that this thing is graphical if and only that this partition here is graphical if and only if that partition is graphical. Any questions? Like, I don't know, could you explain the condition again? Would be a good question. Any questions? Okay? So this gives us a way to test it because we're each going to be making the partition smaller. Eventually, we get down to a partition on two vertices. Someone described to me all the partitions on two vertices that are graphical. What would be one that is graphical? I claim 1-1 is. That's on two vertices. What's another partition on two vertices that is graphical? 0-0, right? So any other one? Not if it's going to be a simple graph, it's not, right? You can either have an edge or you don't have an edge. Okay? And so that gives us a basis case to test this thing out once we understand the condition. Any questions? Okay? So how do we prove such a thing like this? Okay? Well, any proof of a graph theory condition is usually an if and only if test. Okay? So you've got to prove the two parts separately, the if and the only if condition. The if condition says that this degree sequence is graphical. The big graphical condition sequence, a sequence on n parts is graphical if this sequence on n minus 1 parts is graphical. Does anybody see why that's got to be true? Okay. Why is it the case that if this is in fact graphical, the whole partition was graphical? Can anybody? Graphical means that there exists a graph for it. Does anybody see why if this partition is graphical, that means that one has to be graphical? Okay. So what the question is if this, the idea is as follows. If this is graphical, what does that mean? That means that there exists a graph realizing this, right? So here is the graph. Okay, it means more a graphic than a graph, right? But what does it say? In this one, this partition is graphical. We can go and find which are the vertices that correspond to these degrees, right? There's going to be D1 vertices corresponding to those degrees, right? I can now add another vertex, okay? And now I've raised all of those degrees by one, right? And I've got one vertex, this vertex here has degree D1. So my claim is if this is graphical, it should be clear that this has to be graphical. Okay? Any questions about that? Okay? That part of the clause should be pretty easy to see. Okay? And again, a lot of the proofs in graph theory are constructive kind of proofs. Okay? Where really what we do is show it. The other thing that's true about graph theory proofs, usually one way proving it is easy, and the other way is harder. Okay? In this case, it's the other question is harder. Suppose, let's say, that this vertex, that this graph is realizable. Okay? Does that necessarily mean that this one is realizable? Under what condition, if we have a graph like this, can we get a graph like this? Okay? Let's think what it means. We want to prove the only if. We want to now prove that given that this is true, given that I've got a graph that does that, is there a graph whose degree sequence is like that? Okay? So how could I do that? Okay? Well, the obvious proof, I claim, would be, well, if you've got a graph like this, take the first vertex of that graph, which is of degree D1, and delete it, right? You certainly still have a graph after that, right? If you take this vertex and you delete it, this part's going to go away, and D1 vertices are going to get decreased by 1. Their degrees are going to get decreased by 1, correct? Does that prove that if this sequence is realizable, this sequence is realizable? The answer is no. Why not? Okay, why does that not suffice? Okay. Does anyone see what the problem is? It could be that I told you I made this graph here, right? It could be that vertex D1 maybe is sitting in its own little world. Here it says D1 is going to be connected to the highest degree vertices in the graph, right? That D1 being the guy with the most friends, certainly its friends are going to be the other popular people, is really what you're saying. Okay? But that's not necessarily true, is it? If I take the people in this room, okay, I shoot the person who has the most friends, is it the other popular people who are going to be sad? Maybe not. Maybe this person has curried favor among people who have very few friends. Okay? So it's not necessarily true if I just delete the first vertex that the degree sequence of what I get left has to look like that. Okay? How many people see why that's true now? How many people don't yet see why that's true? A question like, I don't see why that's not true, is a good thing to see. Because one thing that's also true about graph theory is a lot of the proofs are sort of slippery. Things that seem like they're obvious often tend not to be true. Okay? So you have to be a little bit precise here. Okay? So what I'm going to do is as follows. Okay? My only if proof is going to be as follows, okay? Suppose if this proof is graphic, the sequence is graphic, I will do as I say. now shoot the most popular person in the graph. Okay? It may or may not have been, the friends of the most popular person may or may not have been the most popular remaining people. Okay? If they were, fine. Okay? Then I'm done. If not, what I'm now going to do is show you how I can reconstruct the graph so that the degrees, okay, are going to, so I'm going to construct a graph with the same sequence, okay, but such that the highest degree vertex is connected as follows. Okay, so what am I going to now do? Okay, suppose instead I have a graph with some degree sequence, okay, which is not constructed like this. Okay, I'm now going to take a graph, okay? So in other words, let's say that now I have a, what I now want to do is as follows, okay? I now want to show you that given that I've got a graph with certain degree sequence, I can restructure that graph the way that I want arbitrarily while still keeping the degree sequence the same, okay? Let me show you what I mean by this. Suppose, let's say, I perform an edge interchange operation on a graph, okay? What I do by this is, suppose, let's say, I have two pairs of vertices with an edge not adjacent to them. So I've got an edge that looks like this. These two vertices, I've got four vertices. This is connected to that. This is connected to that. This is not connected to either of those. This is not connected to either of those. Okay? Suppose I now take this graph and I delete that edge, and add those two edges back. What has happened to the degrees of the vertices? Okay? If I take this graph and I do this surgery to it, what has happened to the degrees of the vertices? Okay, it has stayed the same, correct? So what this tells me is that in some sense, I have the ability to restructure graphs, okay, so that I can, sort of keep degrees the same, but move the edges around, right? So now let's take a look at this. Suppose we have that vertex V1 is adjacent to VJ, but not to VK, okay, where VK has a higher degree than VJ, okay, meaning V1 is connected to somebody, okay, who's not connected to the most popular guy, but V1 is connected to somebody less popular. By definition, then, there will be another guy. This guy's more popular than this guy, right? This is going to be more popular than that one. That means there exists somebody that this guy is friendly with who this guy is not friendly with. Does everybody agree? That if V1 is adjacent to V2, VJ, but VK is more popular than VJ, there has to be somebody who VK knows who this guy doesn't know, correct? If that's true, then we can do this kind of a swap, okay? Where now there is an edge, okay, where now V1 is adjacent to a higher degree graph than before. Okay, does everybody agree with that? Here V1 was not adjacent to the highest degree guy. There was somebody else out there higher. Therefore, there had to be somebody who the higher guy knew who V1's crony did not know, correct? Therefore, there exists an appropriate set of four vertices where we could do kind of a swap, correct? So what does this mean? Get back to the big picture. V1 here, who we'll really call back to here, was D1, the vertex here of degree D1. in the graph you gave me here was not connected to the most popular other guy. Okay? Well, I claim, therefore, if it's not connected to the most popular other guy, I could now find, therefore, there has to be a legal swap I can do, such that the degrees stay the same, and V1 is now adjacent to the popular guy. How many people believe that? Okay, how many people don't believe that? Okay, a couple people. Let's agree with the following. Suppose, let's say, I show you how, if I give you a graph with this sequence, I could restructure it by doing edge swaps such that the highest degree vertex was connected to all the other higher degree vertices. If I could show you how to take any graph with this sequence such and make it so that the first vertex is connected to all the other high degree vertices, then that's proven that this has to be realizable, because then I can delete it and get this. Okay? Do people agree with that? So now, how do I show I can get that? Well, suppose D1 was not connected to D2 in this graph. Okay? D1 was not connected to the most popular guy. Well, here's the most popular guy. Here is someone V1 is connected to instead. If this guy is very popular, more popular than this guy, then darn it, this guy has to know somebody, okay, who this one does not know. That means that I've got this kind of a relationship between the four vertices. If I have this kind of relationship, I can do this swap. The degrees stay the same. The graph, however, has changed, and it has changed in a way that V1 is now connected to the in guy crowd. So basically what I've just proven is that without changing the number of friends, okay, I can rearrange things so the popular people are friends with the popular people. Okay, and that's what I need to prove this result. Okay, any questions? Okay. Again, so it's kind of an interesting result. Okay, it gives me a test to show whether or not any pair of vertices are connected. Let me show you an example of this, because it's kind of an interesting little process. Suppose I want to show that 5533222 is a graphic sequence. What do I want to do by my test? I want to take the highest number and say, well, I will delete one, it's going to be connected to 5. I will delete one from the 5 numbers that were closest to it, right? The 5 next largest numbers. Okay? Now I then look at what I've got left. Well, 5 minus 1 is 4. 3 minus 2, 1 is 2. 3 minus 1 is 2. 2 minus 1 is something that's no longer the biggest remaining guy, right? Now this guy's the biggest remaining guy, because we deleted one from these guys. The guy who didn't have any friends is now the more popular guy in the graph. Does everybody see that? That if I, in fact, I say I'm going to connect this vertex to the 5 most popular, after I delete that guy, these guys may have now more friends than some of the ones that were more popular. So this rearranges the order of the vertices. Does everybody agree with that? And so again, I'm going to say now I'm going to connect this guy to the 4 most popular ones. That may will leave me with 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. I'll connect C with D. Okay, that would leave me with D and F. Delete that. Finally, I get down to 3 vertices that are left, which are connected to nobody. That gives me this graph here. Working backwards, what does that say? Well, here I connected G to F. So lo and behold, let me add that to the graph. In this step, I'm adding a vertex C. C is going to be adjacent to D, so I add that to the graph. Here's the more interesting step. 4, it was going to be made adjacent to C, D, G, and F. So B is adjacent to C, G, D. Okay, no. B is going to be adjacent to C, D, G, E. B is adjacent to C, G, D, and E. G was already connected to F, so I've got this graph here. Okay, does everybody see that it uniquely specifies how to reconstruct it? Okay, and by working backwards, okay, again, now with the final step, A is going to be connected to B, C, D, E, and F, and lo and behold, it is A, B, C, D, E, and F. Any questions? Okay. So think about it. It's a little bit more subtle how the subtraction permutes things, okay? But I urge you to go through the example to make sure you understand how the theorem works. Any questions about that? Okay? So why is this interesting? Well, it's a first non-trivial theorem in graph theory. Second of all, it shows us a mechanism to reconstruct graphs without changing degrees. That's actually this edge interchange operation. Is useful to construct all kinds of different graphs. If you want to show how to change a graph and walk from one graph to another, that edge interchange operation is useful. And finally, it gives us a way to test if a partition is graphic or not. Any questions? Okay. I'd like to briefly mention one other condition for testing whether or not a graph is a partition is graphical. And it's due to this man. Does anybody know who this man is? Okay. Does anyone know who this fellow is? Okay, he recently passed away. This is Paul Erdős, okay, who was probably one of the most colorful figures in mathematics over the last 50 years. He's probably the world's most prolific mathematician. Okay. He wrote over his lifetime, he wrote something like 1,600 papers. Which, if you think about that, that means one every 10 days or so. Okay? And how does one do that? Well, firstly, you have to be very smart. Second of all, you have to have lots of collaborators. And you can't write 1,600 papers with people around you unless they also write 1,600 papers. So he was famous because he toured the world. He didn't really have a permanent address. He lived moving from math department to math department. Okay? And would come by, visit a math department, prove theorems with people for a few days, and then move on to another math department, okay, with more interesting people. Okay? And so he's really a very, very interesting figure who unfortunately passed away about a year or two ago. He got a front page obituary in the New York Times, which is quite an accomplishment. But more than that, he sort of introduced sort of the whole style. He's sort of a forerunner of a lot of the style of graph theory, which is very much of a problem-oriented thing. People try to find cute problems, they pose them, and they learn new techniques. And from that, they develop different fields. He's one of the ones who invented, I think you already saw a proof by him, of when we talked about Ramsey theory. I think that probabilistic Ramsey argument was due to Erdős. But a very interesting figure. And there's some popular books about his life now, because he really was kind of a unique figure. He's famous for saying things like another roof, another proof, because he moved from place to place. And he also had a famous saying which said that a mathematician is a machine for turning coffee into theorems. That was sort of one of his sayings. He had lots of other interesting things. And I'm proud to have actually met him a couple of times and, you know, regret that other people won't have that chance. But he, just to sort of go through, I want to go through the proof of this, but just want to show you one other condition for testing whether or not a graph is, a degree sequence is graphic, okay? Meaning that it's a test that's not going to rely on recursion, okay, but is instead going to be a sequence of conditions. Okay, it says here, let D1 be Dn, be again, and this is before, an even sequence, degree sequence, listed in non-increasing order, just like it was before. The claim here is this sequence is graphic, meaning there's a graph associated with it, if and only if, for every r from 1 to n minus 1, the sum of the first R terms of the degree sequence is less than or equal to R times R plus 1 plus the sum over from R plus 1 to N, meaning all other parts. We take the min of R and DI. Okay, I mean, to correspond to that degree sequence. So let's think what this means. Let's read this for a second and see what this means. Okay? It says that that for every R, meaning there's going to be N minus 1 different conditions, we're going to take the first, the sum on the left is going to be the sum of the R largest degree things. And on the right is going to be this term that's the square R times R minus 1, plus for all the other vertices, not in the first part, we take the smaller of R and DI minus 1. So what is the case for the first one? We say that 5 is less than or equal to 1 times 1 minus 1, well, that's 0, plus the sum of, for all these other parts, the min of 1 and 5, 4, 2, 3, well, those are all going to be 1s, right? So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 is less than or equal to 5 that we believe, right? For the second one, it says that 10 is going to be less than or equal to 2 times 1 or 2 plus the min of, for all these other pieces, 2 and that. That's going to be 5 times 2. 10 plus 2 is less to, greater than or equal to 10, so we're still golden. The final case I'll do here, 13, okay, which is the sum of the first three, is less than or equal to 3 times 2, or 6, plus the sum for all these other pieces, the min of 3 and those pieces. Well, this is 3 and the piece is 3. I mean, R is 3 here. So it's the min of 3 and 2. We get 3, 2, 2, 2. Okay, but lo and behold, that sum is still there. Okay? If all those conditions is true, then I claim the degree sequence is graphic. Any questions? Okay. Any intuition as to why that might be? Let's just start to take a look at this thing. Does anybody see any reason for why that theorem might hold? Okay. May seem like magic or mystery. If we look at it in the following way, okay, I'm going to show you an if and only if condition. I'm only going to prove one half of it. Basically, what I said here is that, again, the summary is basically that for any R, the sum of the R largest degrees is less than or equal to R times R minus 1 plus, the min for all the other degrees, right? The min of R and all those other degrees. The first thing I'd like to prove to you, remember, if and only if, two different cases, is the if part. I claim that if you have a graphic degree sequence, it has to observe that. Why is that? Well, let's look at what a graph looks like. If here I have a graph, again, graphs are usually represented by cloud-shaped things. If here I have a graph, and here I take a look at the sum of the degrees of the R largest vertices, what is this vertex going to be connected to? Okay? I claim that this vertex can be connected to what? It can be connected to some of its cronies in the big popular, in the set of popular people, right? And it may even be connected to some people outside the popular set, right? So let's think now, what do we know about the degrees of the R most popular vertices? Okay? My claim is, if I have R vertices in here, how many edges can there be? Let's say there's R people, we call them the popular crowd. How many edges could there be to find among vertices in the popular crowd. If I have R vertices here, how many edges might be defined solely between vertices in here? Okay. What's the maximum number of vertices that this guy could be adjacent to in here? R minus 1, right? This guy could have a degree of R minus 1, right? What about this guy internally? What could his degree be? R minus 1, right? So what's the maximum amount of sum of degrees that we could get solely from the edges that stay within this circle? R times R minus 1, right? Good. Now I ask you, let's count how many degrees there could be cutting across this circle, right? Suppose I've got a vertex VI. Here I've got this vertex, a not very popular vertex. Let's call it V. The degree of this vertex is dV. How many times can this vertex be connected to guys in the circle? Can it be connected to dV of them? Could all of this guy's edges be in the circle? Yes, if there's more guys in the circle, or at least as many guys in the circle as there are guys that I'm friendly with, right? Suppose the in-crowd consists of 5 people, and I have 6 friends. Is it possible that that all my friends are in the in-crowd? No. My claim is that for every vertex, the number of friends I have in the in-crowd, the most I could have is the minimum of my degree and the number of fellows in the in-crowd, right? So now I claim this condition should start to make sense, okay? It basically says that for any subset of the most popular vertices, I've got at least I know that the sum of the most popular vertices, their degrees, has got to be less than or equal to, okay, the most that I could get within there and the most I could get from outside. Clearly, if this is ever not true, there's no way that the degree sequence could be graphical, right? Okay? So my claim is that this gives us a necessary condition. It's not obvious it's sufficient. And sufficient requires a much more complicated proof. Okay? But does everybody see sort of why at least this part of the statement is true? Okay? Any questions? Okay? So again, that's sort of another sort of interesting result and gives us a chance to start talking about degree sequences. Again, just thinking about degree sequences are by obviously the simplest thing in graph theory. This is not on the in the handouts, by the way. So this is one you'll have to actually look at up on here for a second. Okay? Degrees of graphs, sequences of graphs, seem to be as simple a thing as there is about graphs, just counting how many edges are adjacent to it. But even from that simple property, you can often use those kind of properties to prove more interesting things. Okay? Just arguments based on vertex degrees. And I'd like to show you one such result. Okay? My claim is, okay, well, something about another aspect of graphs called cuts in graphs. Suppose, let's say, we seek to find a large cut set in a graph. What is a cut set? Well, a cut in a graph is a partition of the vertices. What do you get of a cut? A cut is something you chop something with an axe, it goes into 2 pieces, right? That's what it means to cut something. When we cut a graph into 2 pieces, what does it mean? It means that some of the vertices lie on one side of the cut, some vertices lie on the other side of the cut. Okay? How big is the cut? Well, if you were chopping it with an axe, you know how much strength it would take to depend upon how many edges you have to cut, right? Okay? We talk about a cut set as being for a particular partition of the vertices into two chunks. The size of that cut set is the number of edges that span that cut. Okay? So over here, I claim that for this particular cut, where I cut the vertices 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, this particular cut cut 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 edges, right? How much would this cut cut if I had that cut? That cut only 2 edges, right? So my claim is that if you specify any partition of the vertices of a graph, okay, it will cut a certain number of edges, right? Can anyone describe a way to test for connectivity, whether a graph is connected in terms of cut? What does it mean for a graph to not be connected? Okay? Not to be in one piece. Okay? If a graph is not connected, that means that there exists a partition such that no edges are cut across that partition, right? You put the first piece to the left, the other piece to the right. Okay? So what I claim is that a partition of the vertices, every partition of the vertices into two pieces describes a number of edges that represents, is equivalent, describing that gives a certain number of edges that get cut in that partition. Correct? Okay, good. Now, I claim that every single graph in the world, okay, assuming it's a simple graph, okay, maybe even if it's not a simple graph, but I'll just talk about simple graphs. Every graph in the world has a cut set which cuts at least half the edges in the graph. Okay? So let's take a look at this example. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 edges that get cut by this, right? Okay? How many edges are there in the graph total? 6 plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Does this cut half the vertices in the graph? Half the edges in the graph? No. But is there another cut that does? Can anybody see a cut in this graph that cuts more edges than this one does? Okay, can anyone describe how to rearrange my cut so I chop more edges out? Okay. Anybody see it? Yeah? If I, instead of exiting here, I chopped up through there, now I could go, I lose one edge, but I pick up 3 more, right? In fact, this was not the biggest cut in the graph, okay? My claim is that every graph has a cut that cuts at least half the edges, okay, in a graph, okay? Any questions about what the statement of the theorem is? Okay. How many people think this is surprising, that you can always chop it so you get at least half the edges? How many people don't think it's surprising? How many people don't feel they have enough intuition yet about graphs one way or another? Maybe that will help about. Okay. But here is, I claim, a proof based on just degree sequences, degrees of vertices, that in fact every graph has a cut set of size n over of size m over 2. How am I going to do it? I am going to say, well, you give me an arbitrary cut set of that graph. Okay, so here you arbitrarily put the vertices either to the left or the right of my chopping saw. Okay? So here I've got a graph. I put 4 vertices to the left, 3 to the right. Okay? Now I claim if, in fact, half the edges are cut, then we're done, right? What if half the edges are not cut? Well, my claim is that if half the edges are not cut, okay, it's going to be the case that there exists at least one vertex, okay, whose degree, whose neighborhood, okay, whose set of vertices it's connected to, more of them are connected to the same side than they are to the other side. Okay? So let's take a look at this one here. Suppose, let's just look at it as an example here. Actually, this may not be, this is a case. If we look over here, this vertex has two neighbors. Both of them are on the same side, correct? What would happen if we moved that vertex over to the other side? What happened to the cut set? If we just take this vertex and pull it over to the other side, what happens to the cut set? The set of edges that get cut by that. Is it going to get bigger or smaller? Bigger. Okay? What if we keep doing this until no such edge vertex exists? So in other words, I'll take a look for every vertex, and I'm now going to say, do you have more neighbors on this side or the other side? If you have more friends on this side, I want you to move to the other side. Okay? And now I'm going to keep doing this, okay, until I don't have any such things. Okay? Where, in fact, every vertex that is, if you think about it, every time I do this move, what's going to happen? The size of the cut set is going to get larger, right? So that tells me that I can't do this indefinitely, right? Because every time I do it, my cut set's getting larger. Okay? Eventually, this process is going to start. What's the largest the cut set could possibly be if I have n vertices? Does anyone see it? What's the largest possible cut set I could have? Okay? Let's think about it. What's the maximum number of edges I could have in a graph on n vertices? Okay? N choose 2. Okay? What's the maximum number size cut set I can have in a graph? Okay? On n vertices? N by 2 squared. Okay? In fact, the worst case, it may not be completely obvious that this is the worst case. The worst case would be that I put the vertices n over 2 here and n over 2 here and then split them and then had everybody here connected to everybody else, right? That gives me n squared over 4. Okay, right? Okay, which in fact is a little bit more than 1/2 of n choose 2. Okay? So in a complete graph, this is the best thing you can do with a complete graph. Okay? Any questions? So now let's take a look at it. You agree with me that given a graph, I could start with an arbitrary partition and move the vertices around till I stop. Why is it that when I'm stopped, that do I know that I have cut at least half the graph, vertex edges in the graph? Can anybody see what the punchline is? Why is it that I must have cut at least half the edges in the graph if I move it around like that? Okay. Does anybody see? Okay, think for a second. Well, let's go back to what we know about degree sequences. Okay, or about vertex degrees. At the end, okay, we know that if we take the original degrees of the graph, we sum up all those degrees, we get twice the number of edges, right? Let's now delete everything that is not in the cut set. Meaning, let's now delete all the edges at the end that are where the two endpoints are in fact on the same side of the graph. Okay? Let's now call dc sub I the number of remaining, the degree of the edges that remain. Or equivalently, the number of edges adjacent to vertex I that got cut in our ending partition. Okay? What do we know about DI? By definition, at least half of its original edges got cut, right? Because what did we do? If it had more of its neighbors on the same side of it, we moved it to the other side, right? My claim is that the number, that means that the degree of the vertex in the cut is at least DI over 2. How many people see that? How many people don't see that? Okay? By definition, why did we move a vertex? Okay? We moved a vertex, okay, if its degree on the cut, which is, this is going to be 2, that's DC, that's the cut. If the degree here was less than the degree that was not in the cut, we moved it, right? So all we know is that at the end, the degree in the cut has to be greater than or equal to half the original degree, right? So let's look at the graph that we have left. We have a graph where the degree of each vertex, okay, is at least half of what it used to be. The sum of those degrees, then, is at least equal to the number of edges in the graph. Correct? And now we've got a graph such that the sum of the degrees is E, since each edge in the graph contributes 2 to the degree. In just the cut, we know there had to be at least E over 2 edges. Okay? So lo and behold, this proves that that every graph, you can cut it so that you get at least half the edges cut. Any questions? Okay. You know, I realize I've run a little bit over. I just want to tell you the punchline is kind of interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, the problem of finding the largest cut in a graph is an algorithmically an NP-complete problem. So if you came to me and said, I have an algorithm to efficiently find the largest cut in any graph, I'd say you're lying. Okay, you can't do it. Okay? But if you said, look, I've got a very, very simple algorithm that gets within half the total number of edges, there's nothing wrong with that. So even though the problem of finding the largest cut is hard, finding a decent cut, a pretty large cut, is easy, because I just showed you how to do it. Okay? And this shows that, in fact, you can always get a cut that cuts at least half the edges, okay, by using a very, very simple algorithm. Any questions? Okay. So degree sequences are good things. Graph degrees are good things. Think about it, and we'll see you next class. Thanks a lot. And if you didn't turn in your test, give me your tests now.